Hello, this is Peter Hill Explains, and I welcome you to join a conversation about science. This episode, I'm taken with Group 5 elements. Now, this is in the groups 1 to 18 of the periodic table. The periodic table has 18 groups and 7 periods. And Group 5 is sort of a hidden one. I've always been a bit fascinated about what you could find out about Group 5. And just bit by bit, I just got sucked into Group 5. So Group 5, let's look at it. The glamour group for me has always been Group 3. This is the scandium, yttrium, and lutetium. Lutetium, absolutely fascinating elements, which are the rare earth elements, and they go down and hook onto the lanthanides. It's a really fascinating thing to see how they're mistreated. Group 5 is interesting. It's so it goes scandium, titanium, and then vanadium. And you've got vanadium is group 5, and then you go down vanadium. So the general idea of this is that I'll just talk you through the periodic table. Just talk about a group 5, going down. This is in transition metals. We go down and have a little look at here. So the more you hear, the more you understand, the more it sits together. So there's certain aspects to it. So it goes vanadium, then niobium, then tantalum, then some other weird sort of element which goes after. I'm sure it's not weird, but the standard elements that you find around on Earth are those vanadium, niobium, and tantalum. Now, may as well start talking about them. Tantalum used to be the go-to element before we sort of really discovered that tungsten was better. So it's got it's good for an element because you can heat it up and it's a refractory metal, but it's a bit more expensive and not as good as tungsten. So that's where we first got tantalum, and then after a while, so tantalum is just a silvery, strong, good old heavy metal. And then that's at the period 6 of the periodic table. So that's the 6th row, the bottom the bottom row. And then you get the 7th row, where you get francium, radium, and some really weird radioactive elements. And we're not going to go into that. So the sort of the normal elements, which the periodic table runs out of steam a bit. At the end of the 6th period, you get lead and bismuth, and then it all goes dreadfully radioactive, a bit hard to cope with. But getting back here, we've got tantalum, and it's a silvery metal. There's nothing all that special about it. Then you've got niobium. Niobe was the actual daughter of Tantalus, the king, so that's why it was there. And tantalum, why they called it that, I suppose it was hard, tantalizing to get. Vanadium, I must admit, I really can't remember how vanadium's called. Now, the things that really, really struck out is niobium. It's got heaps of properties for nanoparticles and magnetic properties and stuff like that. But where it really sort of stands out is that it forms a glassy oxide on the outside, a nice crystalline oxide glass layer on the outside. Now, people say, oh, this is a bit unusual, but all stainless steel has chrome in it, and the chrome goes to the surface of stainless steel and forms a glassy layer of chrome oxide. So, actually, stainless steel is just glass and clay-coated steel, normal iron. It's the chrome oxide layer on the surface which stops stainless steel rusting. So that's not that unusual, and anodizing is a process of forced oxidation. We use electric current to oxidize it, and rather than being a haphazard process, you can control it very well. And control the thickness of anodization by temperature, because you anodize it and it forms a a non-conductive layer on top of it. So things which form a solid non-conductive layer are things like aluminium. Aluminium would, I suppose, burn up very easily, but this oxide layer protects it. So the same is true for niobium. But niobium's got a fantastic thing, that the layer is such high quality, it acts as an optical interference, interferometer. So I think that's the best way you can say it. So if some light hits off the surface, the air niobium oxide layer, and then it travels through the oxide layer, just at the right refractive index as well, a thickness which you can determine by the voltage, and then bounces off the surface of your beautiful silvery niobium metal, because it's really silvery because it's been coated with this lovely thick oxide layer, so it's a really thick uniform layer. And the effect is that you can get some niobium, stick it in some solution, run a current through it, and you pull it out and it goes different colours. So you put it in, it goes just ever so slightly silvery, then it goes golden, and then it goes, bluish, all these different colours. In fact, a lot of niobium jewellery can be made, beautiful coloured jewellery. It's not all that strong, but it's a beautiful decorative jewellery, and it's coins made out of it. So it's this fantastic element that you sort of miss. So niobium's in period 5, right in the middle of the height of the transition metals, but tantalum is just exactly chemically the same. It's got the same chemical electric configuration on the outside, so as far as the environment is concerned, and it's got the same radius, and we'll get back to that in a moment. You can also do the same thing with tantalum. It's in the periodic table, and the beautiful thing about it is that you can actually electrically plate tantalum and get different colours on the surface of tantalum. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea, and you can get that. So it can be used as a heating wire, similar to nichrome wire, but it can also have this beautiful thing that can be coated and made into jewellery. Now, vanadium doesn't go that way. It sort of tends to fracture and do other sorts of things, but we'll get back to that, because there's another thing. Vanadium is a fantastic metal when you get to it. So we've got this general question is, why, if I've got tantalum has buckets more electrons, you've got the whole period across, just looking across, it's probably 18 plus, you've got the entire 18 plus 14, like a fair number, that's 32 more electrons. It's got a bucket load of more electrons, yet it's got the same atomic radius. You know, we've got 32 more electrons in there, it's a lot more going on, yet it's got the same atomic radius, so much so it's got the same atomic radius and the same outer shell of electrons. And that actually means that the ores, they weren't able to separate it for a hell of a long time. So they mistook niobium as a sort of a form of tantalum, because it was so chemically identical. Similarly, it goes for lutetium and yttrium. They were so chemically identical, you couldn't tell the difference. We have the mystery here. What's going on? Because when you go up to the periodic table, the group 1 and group 2, they're very large elements. And then adding more electrons, it really hunkers down. It really goes into that. There's such a thing as called the F shell. So F shell means spectroscopically the actual lines produced there are, I think, fine. They're sharp, principal, diffuse, fine lines. I think fine, I remember. Very fine lines. So that's what's called an F shell. And F shell has at least a radial, or axial nodal lines across it, if you have its wave function. Look, you're probably not going to understand this, but in quantum mechanics, electrons are not dots. They're actually these big, spongy, doughy things which you can cut through. So imagine a big cut of dough of the electron. It's a big cut of dough, and you cut your sort of knife down and cut it, stroke it down, and stroke it from sort of top to bottom, left to right, and through. You've got three nodal lines in there. So P shells is one nodal line, S shells no nodal line, angular nodal line, P is one, D is two, is three. And this is a really efficient way of getting close into the nucleus. So these electrons can actually feel the see the nucleus and actually get pulled in really tight. So your F shell electrons are pulled in really tight. And so it means that your row 6, all of them are really super dense, super small. They don't continue. The periodic chain doesn't continue because quantum mechanics comes in. And so you have niobium and tantalum and heaps of examples of things being very, so much the same. And of course, this means that row 6 are super, super dense because they've suddenly got the trick of being using the S shells to hunker down. And you go a bit further along, you get to iridium. It's the densest element known. This trick begins to fall apart as you move through golds. Platinum's dense, gold's very dense, much denser than lead. And the lead is in your P block, and it begins to expand. And polonium is even bigger if you go down the row 6. So let's summarise so far. So we're in, group 5 going down. That's vanadium, niobium, and tantalum. And niobium is sort of one of these super magnetic materials. It's in lasers or electronics, heaps and heaps of things. But there's things that, you know, just absolutely fascinate me when you get down to nanoparticles and where things go. So that's a really, really cool thing. Vanadium, so that's why tantalum is so much denser, and that's why that six row of things, you really pick up the density, and you can sort of begin to see the trend there. And you can see a sudden increase in thermal conductivity if you go up to group 6 down in that periodic table, the molybdenum and down that aisle. But vanadium, if you're pulling back one, it's not as thermally conductive as you go down it. But vanadium is something that you chuck into steel to make it light and strong. And it's the first really sort of high alloy tool. You can't hand them out at granite spanner. The spanners, which are super hardened, are made out of vanadium, makes them really strong and great as a real, I suppose, alloy which you put into steels and metals like that. But that's not where it really fascinates me. Vanadium oxide, so we've talked about niobium, I can't pronounce it now, I'm really stuffed up at the moment. We've talked about that oxide and the oxide layer making these beautiful colours, but vanadium oxide is the one that really grabs my interest. It's only in the last couple of years that they've discovered something, that its properties change with temperature. It suddenly goes on a room temperature. Check this out. It suddenly has a room temperature transition from an insulator to a conductor at room temperature. It's one of these things, these wonder materials we've just recently discovered and recently understood at a room. As the temperature increases, its vibrations change, and it suddenly releases its electrons, becomes conductive at room temperature. Thermally conductive and electrically conductive at room temperature. And so we can make these fantastic nano switches, ultra-fast nano switches, by heating them up. Because you can make them incredibly small and heat them up. And we've got this fantastic new technology in our hands. And I just can just imagine what we can do if It's when it's cold, it's an insulator, and when it's hot, it's a conductor. That seems just the most ideal situation. So this is the start of cutting edge, bleeding edge research, and when you look into it, there's a whole lot of smart glasses which we're looking at, which, if you look at it, don't use that vanadium oxide yet, but the people are thinking about it, working on it, modern technology for it. Neodymium oxide is used in the glass matrices. It's really fascinating what's going to come out very soon. So, you know, that's something which I was just sort of getting a bit bored looking at the periodic table. Wow, this is a fantastic point. It just keeps on giving as an element. So, just to really summarize, the just standard periodic table with this F shell 6-row super density and sort of things being very similar chemically. But then the oxides come into play, and depending on your oxide layer, these things shimmer and have beautiful, beautiful colours. The beautiful jewellery you can have of tantalum, but neodymium is the... Niobium. My God. Cancel everything I said about neodymium, because I'm used to the rare earth stuff and neodymium lasers. Niobium. So cancel everything I said about neodymium. It's niobium. That's my brain going on holiday. But the oxides are the thing to go, and you say, oh, let's just check another oxide. And then I check the vanadium oxide, and what a treat. This is something, an oxide, which changes its chemical properties, its electrical and thermal conductive properties with temperature. You just don't get much better than that. And so this is the purpose of this podcast. I mean, it's a podcast to communicate with you, to get more fluent at podcasting, to add things around. But it's also for me to actually make mistakes, correct them, and get my cognitive skill up. Because I'm going into a really hard environment where if I make any sort of mistake, if I get anything, that's it. I'll say that's the end of you. So I've got to really struggle to get my complete recall and also think at a level to make things simple and interesting. And this one, I've made it simple and interesting by just following one group of the periodic table, talking you through the actual periods of the periodic table and what some of the shells mean, and not just looking at the metal, but looking at the oxide of the metal. So I hope you get a chance to check up what I've found out, and this is what it is. I'm trying to start a scientific conversation with you. Thanks for listening. In the meantime, keep on thinking, doing, and teaching science.